Right now, our regular guest Joan Lewis is here once again to take us behind the scenes here in the Vatican with news of the Pope's activities over the past week, beginning with a papal message sent to leaders of the G20 nations meeting in Seoul, South Korea.
Basically, the Pope, in his message, he asks the G20 nations to serve common global interest. And obviously, man always has to be at the center of whatever an economy does. What nations, rulers, and lawmakers decide, they should always focus on man. And in his message, actually, it was a message to the president of South Korea and the...
Where the summit is being held.
Seoul, South Korea, right. And the Pope actually sent words of encouragement to the leaders, which makes people listen, obviously, a lot more than if they're words of admonishment. But you can admonish in an encouraging tone, can't you? And the Pope said, "I encourage you to take the numerous serious problems facing you, bearing in mind the deeper reasons for the economic and financial crisis."
Picking up very much on the themes in his most recent encyclical, of course, Caritas in Veritate.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And we're hearing a lot about that, actually, when you think of the many, many times it is becomes the focus of the meeting of a plenary session. It becomes the focus of a meeting of an international group of, Catholic people or Christian people. So Caritas in Veritate has really had a global effect and a global impact. And the Pope is trying to, again, use some of his words from that in his letter to the G20. We're talking about man being at the center. And the Pope said that if the leaders look at the reasons, the deeper reasons for the economic and financial crisis, he said, in doing so, it is my hope there will be a keen awareness that the solutions adopted as such will work only if, in the final analysis, they are aimed at reaching the same goal, the authentic and integral development of man. And a message he's given in many other messages, he repeats again, Pope Benedict said that the agreements of the group of 20 should not favor some countries at the expense of others.
It's been a relatively quiet week for Pope Benedict. He returned from his two-day visit to Spain after last weekend and has been taking a little bit easier, perhaps, although that's always a relative term, isn't it?
Well, it's just because we don't see him in public. I mean, you know, Monday might have been a so-called day of rest, but I mean, he probably puts in a 14-hour day reading, writing, and so forth, the preparing the Wednesday audience, which in the case of a trip is always about the trip that he would have just returned from.
And indeed, he did look back to the highlights from his Spanish visit, didn't he, briefly?
Oh, he did. He looked at that. And as a matter of fact, the audience was interesting. It was in two parts. And the Pope met about 1,000 people from the Diocese of Carpineto Romano, where he went in early September before he went on his trip to London. The Pope had gone to this diocese because Leo XIII had been born there on March 2nd, and he was from that diocese, and they were celebrating the bicentenary of his birth. And by the way, he did reign, I think it was the third longest pope. He reigned for 25 years and 150 days, so from 1878 to 1903. So a very amazing pontificate. And then the Pope also met pilgrims from the Czech Republic, thanking them for paying him a trip, and they were thanking him for his trip, obviously, to their country. But when the Pope did go to the main audience hall, to the Paul VI hall, for the second part of the audience, that's where he basically spoke about his trip to Spain. In the first part, he was thanking the pilgrims in St. Peter's Basilica for their visit to him and how much he enjoyed his various trips to their country. But he talked about being a pilgrim in the holy year of Compostela to venerate the Apostle St. James the Greater. And I think a lot of people, I was told this before this trip, didn't know St. James, but they didn't know St. James the Greater because there is a St. James the Lesser, if you always hate to distinguish in that sense, certainly between saints, right? But I like what the Pope said. He said the traditional practice of embracing the image of St. James symbolizes our embrace of the gospel that he preached and the mission we all receive in baptism to bear daily witness to Christ and to strengthen society in our fidelity to the wisdom and truth of the gospel. And then Later on that trip, of course, the next day, when he went to the Sagrada Familia, the unfinished church that's been, you know, under construction for, it certainly seems like centuries, he designated this a basilica, he consecrated it, and it's dedicated to Sagrada Familia's Holy Family, and really the family was the object of his focus in Spain. Spain has become a very secular country. Supposedly 70% of Spaniards call themselves Catholics. I think there's another word to consider here, and that's practicing Catholics, because if you look at a lot of the so-called secular things that the Prime Minister Zapatero is very proud of having brought to the country, the greater opportunity for abortion, for same-sex marriages, and so forth, and a number of the people who profess to be Catholics say they also embrace the equality, for example, in same-sex marriage. But, I mean, the Pope stressed once again, as he's done 1,000 times since he's become Pope, the sacredness of marriage, of the family, but marriage between a man and a woman. And he not only spoke at great length about the family, protecting it, defining it, and so forth, but he spoke about Europe's Christian values once again.
That very much is at the heart of his speech on those 2 days, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And if you were to create a tapestry of Benedict's papacy, two of the biggest threads in that tapestry would be the Christian roots, the Christian identity of Europe, and obviously the importance of the family and marriage, which were stressed throughout the weekend.
So a short but very significant papal visit that he was looking
yes.
back on at his Wednesday general audience. Looking ahead, meanwhile, I think something else that must be also very much on his mind at the moment. There was an announcement that the cardinals will be meeting ahead of the consistory next Saturday. They'll be meeting for a closed-door summit meeting of their own, won't they?
Exactly. That was announced this week, that on November 19th, because the consistory to create cardinals, this is a pre-consistory consistory, because any meeting of the College of Cardinals is called a consistory when the Pope convenes it. And then in the case of the consistory to create cardinals, that Saturday, that's the ceremony Saturday. Saturday, Sunday, there's a mass in St. Peter's Basilica to give the new cardinals their rings, and that's on the 21st of November. So going back to Friday, the meeting was called of the entire College of Cardinals to discuss actually 5 topics. They're going to do this in 2 sessions, a morning session beginning at 9:30. And they will discuss the themes of religious freedom and new challenges. And there will be a speech by Cardinal Secretary of State Tarcisio Bertone. And the other theme for the morning is liturgy in the life of the church, with an introduction by Cardinal Antonio Canizares Lovera, prefect of the Congregation for Divine Worship. And then in the afternoon, it's interesting, the cardinals will focus on 3 areas. 10 years after Dominus Jesus, and unfortunately the show is not long enough to explain the document Dominus Jesus. We will hear more about that, of course, next week. Second issue, the church's answer to sex abuse cases. And the third matter, Apostolic Constitution Anglicanorum Coetibus. And the last 2 subjects will be addressed by Cardinal William Leveda, who's prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And the Anglicanorum Coetibus document is that which arranges for those Anglicans who have asked the Vatican, not a Vatican initiative, those Anglicans who have asked the Vatican to come into full communion with the Catholic Church because of disaffection for many, many reasons with the direction that the Anglican Church is taking.
And so, that will be on the agenda actually during the whole of the week, because the Council for Christian Unity is in fact meeting in its plenary throughout the week. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan
yes,
Williams.
He will be here.
The Metropolitan Ziziulas representing the Ecumenical Patriarch. So a lot of ecumenical initiatives, a lot of ecumenical business on the agenda, I think, throughout next week.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. The Catholic bishops in America are having their meeting. Cardinal George is the president of the Bishops' Conference in America, and they're having their meeting. I think it concludes just before this meeting in Rome of the College of Cardinals, so they'll be winging their way east. Cardinal George is ending his 3-year term as president, so the Bishops' Conference in the U.S. will also have a new president in coming days, and a lot of the American cardinals, of course, will be probably flying together, who knows, winging their way east to Rome.
Don't forget to tune in again at the same time next week for lots more on all those subjects. For the moment, thank you very much for being with us, Joan.
God bless.